Walking on Water by Robert C. Newman. Brief abstract. A look at the incident in Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33, where Jesus appears to his disciples walking on the water and invites Peter to come to him on the water. What does the story mean? Is it an acted parable? Does it tell us something about the Christian life? Well, let's see. Let's look at the passage first of all, Matthew chapter 14, 22 to 33. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Well, we have here a nature miracle, like several others in the gospel accounts. The calming of the sea, the turning of the water into wine, the multiplying of the loaves and the fish. Each of these tell us something about Jesus. They tell us that his power over nature matches the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, that the directness of his miracle working surpasses theirs. So Elijah, for instance, goes up on the mountain and prays for the rain to come and sends a servant up to look and see whether it's coming several times, and it does finally come. Moses announces that God is going to open the sea for them, etc., and that he does, etc. But Jesus shouts to the waves and the sea, "Peace, be quiet," etc. It does it. He has much more direct miracle working, and it's intended, I think, to tell us that Jesus is not just a prophet. He is also the one who is the master of these things. This particular miracle is unusual in regard to what it shares with us about Peter here. We do know that the disciples sometimes shared in Jesus' miracles. In the incident of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish, the disciples took the food from Jesus and carried it around and distributed it to the people in the crowd. And we don't know whether all the multiplication took place just in Jesus' hands as he handed it out to them, or whether it continued as they went around distributing it to the crowds, so whether they shared somehow in that way. In the casting out of demons, we do know that the disciples were actually able to cast out demons, though they did not have quite as good effectiveness as Jesus did. But this is by far the most direct miracle, if you like, that we see the disciples doing. Here, Peter, if you like, appears to be doing a miracle in Jesus' presence. I suppose you could argue whether Peter is doing it or not, but here it is going on in Jesus' presence, if you like. What Peter is doing almost seems like grandstanding. He was one of the ones to jump in and say something when the other disciples held back. But, in fact, Jesus doesn't rebuke Peter for his grandstanding here, or whatever it is. Perhaps he doesn't want to discourage him on being willing to step out, if you like, and trust Jesus. What does this miracle mean? Well, we see that Peter is able to accomplish something humanly impossible through Jesus empowering him. Jesus does not rebuke Peter's desire to do this. But Peter begins to waver when he realizes, as we might say, that he is out of his depth. Something of a pun there. But Peter begins to look around at the circumstances and gets scared by them. And when Peter withdraws his trust from Jesus and begins to fear the circumstances, he fails. But Jesus comes to the rescue. We might ask, is this incident an acted parable? An acted parable is, in fact, a fairly common activity of the Old Testament prophets. In 1 Kings 11:29, the prophet Ahijah rips his cloak into pieces and gives 10 of the 12 pieces to Jeroboam there in sign that he will one day get 10/12 of the nation of Israel. In Isaiah 20, verses 2 through 6, Isaiah goes around naked. We don't know whether he was stark naked or just in his underwear, but was a very powerful sign to the people that saw him that one day they will be going about like this because the Babylonians will have conquered them and plundered all their clothing and are taking them off into captivity. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 19, 1 through 13, gets a new clay pot from a potter and then goes out and speaks to the leaders of the city, and he smashes the clay pot right in the middle of his message to dramatize the fact that disaster is coming upon Jerusalem. Perhaps the most dramatic acted parable of all is that one that occurs in Hosea chapters 1 through 3, where Hosea marries an unfaithful woman as a picture of God having selected unfaithful Israel and wed himself to her, if you like. And then the subsequent activity of Gomer, his wife, beginning to have children, and Hosea apparently wondering whether they're his or not, and then Hosea running off, and Gomer running off with her lovers and such, basically form a vivid picture of the way Israel has behaved towards God. And then there's in Jonah chapter 4, verses 6 through 11, an acted parable done, if you like, by God, where Jonah, sitting out there unhappy because he fears that God is going to spare the city of Nineveh after Jonah has predicted it will fall, and is out there in the hot sun, and God sends a gourd to grow up and shadow, throw shade on Jonah so that he feels better. And then the acted parable that this gourd then, which this gourd vine, which Jonah appreciates, then dies away and such. And Jonah's very unhappy about that, and basically God is telling him, well, you didn't do anything about this gourd, and yet you're unhappy that it's died, but why shouldn't I have pity then on all these people, particularly the very young people in Nineveh, and not want to see them but I? Well, so acted parables are a common feature of the ministry of the Old Testament prophets. Some of Jesus' actions are parabolic. We aren't told a lot about them, but surely the foot washing in John 13 is parabolic. It's a picture of how Jesus has humbled himself as a servant and obviously most strikingly fulfilled in Jesus going to the cross to rescue us from our sins. And Jesus' cleansing of the temple in John 2 and Mark 11 is another vivid picture here of God's attitude towards Israel's mistreatment of the benefits they've been given, if you like, the privileges they've been given. Some of Jesus' miracles are parabolic. The cursing of the fig tree in Mark 11, I think, is clearly something of this sort. Again, showing God's unhappiness with Israel's profession of righteousness is pictured by the leaves on the fig tree, which means that it professes to have fruit, but in fact doesn't have any, if you like, cursing the disaster that's going to come on Israel as a result. Jesus healing the blind man in chapter 9, illustrating this fellow's physical blindness, but then ability to see spiritually who Jesus really is. And the Pharisees, physical seeing, but spiritual blindness, unable to see who Jesus is. What happens if we see this miracle as an acted parable as well? That this whole thing about Peter trusting in Jesus and walking on the water, and then becoming fearful and sinking into the water. But we see this as an acted parable also. We can understand this as a parable of a Christian life. It doesn't necessarily teach us that Jesus will do miracles through us, but he might, but that the Christian life, rightly lived, is like walking on water. You ever thought about that? The Christian life, rightly lived, is like walking on water. If we really trust Jesus in living our lives, we will come into circumstances and opportunities that are way over our head, way beyond what we're capable of handling. And what are we going to do then? Well, if we quit trusting in Jesus and begin to fear our circumstances, God will let us fail. But if we cling to him, he will uphold us. The Christian life is a life of constant trust. So, the message here is, let us make God our security rather than making security our God. If we do that, God will make our enemies flee before us, even Satan. But if we make security our God, then God will make us flee our enemies, even the very weakest ones. We see that again and again and again in the history of Israel in the Old Testament. So the lesson, Jesus wants us to get out of the boat and join him in a grand adventure that will make our lives exciting and worthwhile in a way that we have hardly ever dared to imagine. May God do so in our lives.